Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servant, Pastor Gwenga Shafe, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
Our relationship on earth is, if there's going to be anything that is going to be tangible in terms of scaling, the Lord says there must be partnership. And for there to be partnership, there is a requirement for agreement. Why is this very important? Please follow me, because I want to carry everybody along. Why is this very important? Because one, we chase 1,000, and two, we chase 10,000. That means what you could have done on your own alone, if you have a man or a partner with you, the right one, you can push that possibility 10 times. Not 2 times, 10 times. So that means if you have 3 good partners, if you are 3, you see, one will chase 1,000. That's how many zeros? 3. 2, you add another 0. That's what? 10,000. So if you have 3 people, what is the capacity as far as God is concerned for 3 people? 100,000. This is also the level of impact you will have if you are in the wrong partnership. Please, are you with me now? Please, are you here now? So, there are certain decisions that God commits to you, such that even God cannot compel you. If God wants you to go in a particular direction, or to follow somebody, or to have somebody follow you, it is not just the word of the Lord that is required. Your agreement and consent is very important, because you have to walk through the entire 9 yards. This matter is one that a lot of Christians do not really, they know it, but they do not really appreciate it and follow it to the letter. And that is why we run into a lot of problems that it seems prayer cannot solve. Praise the Lord. So the concept, before I go into prayer of agreement, or what I have come to refer to as covenant prayer, I want us to consider this matter of 2 people. When the Lord was going to rebuild the earth, he said, "Let us make man in our image." And the word "us" there signifies partnership. Some historians differ, church historians differ on whether God was talking to himself or whether he was talking to the angelic realm. But the most important thing is that he said, "Let us." That what "let us" means that he did not intend to carry out that project on his own. So while you are praying and you are asking God, "Oh, can you do this in my life?" Sometimes what you need is just the introduction of one person. One person could come into your life and he may not really be doing anything for you, except that he's in your space, and you just find that things begin to pick. Do you understand what I'm saying? Somebody else may be in your life and you just realize everything goes down. It didn't take long for Judas to begin to see the result of frolicking with the Pharisee when he killed Jesus. Judas was the first person to kill Jesus. Some people, you get involved with them, instantly you start seeing the result. Things will start happening in your life, whether good or bad. So you cannot be emotional. Who you align your space is a business decision. And it is as well as a spiritual decision. You cannot say because somebody is your brother from your mother womb, you give the person access to your secret place. There are some of us who may know, you have siblings who are very free with you. They come to your house, they want to go into your bedroom and take stuff because it's their brother or it's their sister. And by virtue of that allowance, they can begin to speak to your wife rudely. The moment they come in and you run them through the initial checks, and it's very important, when people are coming to your space, it's good to welcome them, but it's good to also clarify your expectation. In this house, we share the house chores. So you will be helping out with the plates. You will be sweeping. Don't assume that people will know, because people don't like to know. People like to pretend. When you try to assume that we are all, when you go to meet and say we are all matured, that means there's a problem there. You need to get out of that place immediately. When you start here, I believe we are all matured. No, we are not matured. That's why we are having this meeting. If we are all matured, we won't be here talking about these things. So you expect people to know. And that is why the moment you begin to explain to people, this is how I do my things. Please, this area, we don't want roaches, cockroaches. So the kitchen must be like this. The bathroom must be like this and so on and so forth. The moment people cannot stick to the basic rules, don't bother introducing them to the advanced ones. They will not survive. The idea of agreement is that there are a set of rules that we have both decided to be bound by. And everybody will have to play his part. You are the husband, she is the wife. You are the senior partner in the business. So you cannot be co-senior. you cannot both be co-senior partners if you don't have equal investments or if equal shares, equity. You can't say, oh, because we are one in Christ. We are one in Christ, but we are not one in this business. So you have to just say, let's just do it for God. No, the business has failed. Because what happens is the person who has 70% share will be doing a lot to make sure the business doesn't fail. The other one will just be relaxing, and because for him, it's just, how much did I invest? 3 million. Forget it, but that's small money. It can fail. There are people that don't have any job. All they do is they invest and see the one that will survive. So it's very important if you want to make progression in critical areas like prayer. One of the things the Lord will do is to introduce you to covenant prayer. And I will explain covenant prayer in two areas. First, build your own covenant agreement with God. This is how I want to relate with you as far as your prayer life is concerned. Then, covenant prayer as it has to do with the people you pray with. Please, are you with me? You can see that I'm taking my time. So that I want you to be able to go back and readjust your schedule and see how you want to make progress from here. But you will notice that before I started talking about prayer, I started talking about your personal life and personal choices. Because if you cannot determine what is valuable from what is not valuable, what is holy from the profane, you cannot make a concrete decision in a matter such as prayer. Because the thing about prayer is that you are talking to the Almighty God. And if you are engaging in such activity, how do I talk to God in a way, such a way that 90% of my prayer requests are always answered? So these are the things we are talking about here. There are certain things that by the time you put them before the Lord, you've not prayed, you are just observing it. You will realize that you don't need to pray. The moment you realize you don't need to pray, then your friend who is not a spiritual person will come to you and say, let's start fasting. But you have weighed the issue. You have put the matter before the Lord. David said, I have set the Lord always before me. You've presented the matter. You have not prayed. You are just looking at that matter. And you realize that I don't need to pray, but I need to talk to Pastor David. So, you must set government over your life. Learn how to make proper financial decisions. The chances are that if you cannot make good financial decisions, you cannot understand covenant prayer. And please, I want you to write that down. Because whatever you do in life, no industry understands contracts and covenants like the financial industry, where you have to, or business world, where you have to sign agreements to, you have MOUs, you have all kind of use, and things that people agree, okay, give me the product like this, I will sell it at this price, you get your profit. So, the business world is always like that. This is very, very, very important. And please, again, I need you to understand what I'm saying. Anybody listening to me now can progress with God in the place of prayer. Anybody, regardless of your age, can learn how to pray. And God will prioritize your prayer if you know how to package what you are doing. When I was working in the bank, sometimes, or for those of you who use Outlook, you will see that option, high priority, right? Low, that's when sending a mail. Then medium. So when you want to send that mail, it will ask you, how important is this message you want to send? So that it will begin to flash at the other end. That's the same thing with prayer. You are sending a message to another dimension. Let me just digress and say this. How many of us know NASA, the American aerospace, that they are always in space looking for things that only them can explain? Satellite. Did you see their latest discovery? Something happened recently. They've been building a particular camera for 26 years. You saw it, sir? Who saw it? It was online, NASA. Now, NASA is an acronym, but it's owned by America. They've been building a particular camera, a powerful camera, for 26 years to launch into the space. I think they call it the James Webb camera. It's a very recent. So they launched it 2021 or so, or 2022. And that thing has been taking a lot of pictures from space. Unfortunately, John, can you display pictures? Is it if I send it to you on WhatsApp, can you? Let me see I want to show you. I just want you to see something, because this is the way me I think. And sometimes people don't understand my anger. But the world is, as we know it, is changing. So I got this. I'm going to show you something now. It was a picture taken from space. You know, so I want you to understand the power of prayer. That if, when you say you are praying and God heard, I want you to realize how far your prayer traveled and brought, and your answer came back. So, John, I just sent something to you on WhatsApp. Once you are able to display it, please do it immediately. So when he displays, I will explain something to you. So bottom line, you must understand how money works, how the business world works, to understand how covenant prayer works. Okay, since I will still be talking about this, let me make some progress. But let me know, John, when you are ready. But you need to be ready now. Okay, so I'm also going to read from Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18, verse 18, 19, and 20. Matthew 18, 18 to 20. Should I just read from here? Okay. Do you have it in your Bibles? Matthew 18, 18 to 20. It says, verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be what? Bound in heaven. That means there are things that are loosed in heaven and they are operating because nobody has bound them here. You, if somebody prays and is a prophet that is not patient, he will think it was God that approved that thing. Huh? There are bindables and there are loosables. So when you are presented with a matter, the first question you need to ask is this a matter that is bindable or loosable? Or is it beyond my jurisdiction? Whatsoever you shall lose on earth shall be loosed in the heavens. Again, there are things that are bound in the heavenlies. And there are your things. There are things attached to you. There are your blessings. Come on, are you with me now? There are things God has blessed your family with. But in the heavenly realms, they've been sealed. Prevented from somebody gaining access. Are you John Alpha? Huh? So, you will be praying. You will be getting premonitions that it's as if God has answered this prayer. But you are not seeing anything. Because the thing is sealed. And for you to have access to them, you must see it. It must be unsealed. The things you have access to spiritually are things that are unsealed. Anything that is sealed, you can't have access to it in the spiritual realm, even if it's yours. That's why in the book of Revelations, the scripture says the old heavens wept because there was no man found worthy to break the seals until the Lamb of God came and they started dancing. So when they started rejoicing, for you to understand how important the matter of unsealing, breaking something so that people can see what is inside. Because how do you break it? Through revelation. Once God reveals to you, then your eyes have seen it. The same way God said to Abraham, as far as your eyes can see. So your spiritual eyes, when you are praying, you cannot stop your prayer until your eyes, in your mind, that thing is now very evident. That not that you are imagining things, so God is now giving you an assurance that this thing is now yours. So that means there are things that are in the loosables and there are things that are in the bindable. So I'll come back to this at some point. Verse 19. John, I really want them to see this picture. So now the picture you are going to see, hopefully, is a picture that was taken like light years away, like from another galaxy, from a camera in orbit. Huh? So, I became afraid of God because the title of that video, the caption was, "Is this heaven?" So, we'll get there. Again, I say unto you that if two of you shall what? Agree. The word agree here is the word symphony. Symphonio. Huh? How many of you like to go to an orchestra? You want to, and then they are all playing off key. And you wanted to impress the lady, you paid like 25,000. Took her to the island, and then all of them were off key. Like, even on the mainland, our worship is even like, what is this? Like, your own is the money you've paid that is now making. You gave them 25,000. Even the choir cannot sing anything. They say, come and see heavenly worship. Are we good? Okay. See what can you see your screen? Can you see, what do you see? A city? A camera in orbit. This new camera mistakenly took this picture light years away from Earth. Like, the scientist said if we have to travel by the fastest aircraft from Earth, everybody would have been dead before getting to this. That's for you to know how far away. But the camera picked it. And the title of this is, Could This Be Heaven? Can you see the city? This is another civilization. No? This picture was taken in the dark for you to see how powerful that camera is. Huh? Because I'm saying there's no God. See. It's amazing, right? Eh? Even if you want to say it's not a real picture, but you can see the cities, you can see buildings, you can see the way it looks like a celestial, like a triangular. Can you see that? Eh? So this is from the world of science. So let's assume that this is how far, and let me just throw this in. Eh? Let me just throw this in. Don't bother too much about it. If you read the book of Isaiah, scripture tells us that, have you ever heard of the North Star? Huh? No aircraft can fly without the North Star. It's like it's a directional star. It gives you position. That's how you, if you are lost in space, the first question that we ask is, find your true north. I think there's something like that in mathematics. In geography. They say, find your true north. If you can get your true north, they can guide you back. And in the rebellion of Satan, scientists have almost come to the conclusion that what you call true north, they were quoting Bible, is pointing to where most likely the location of heaven is. Have you read the book of Psalms when you say, if Mount Zion on the side of the north, the city of the great king, you see, on the side of the north. It's in the Bible. Huh? All right. I want you to see how far your prayer is traveling. So that when God says, my son, it is done, why you must rejoice? Because your prayer was high priority email. Can you now see with the kind of picture, that picture? Let's even assume that was not heaven. Let's assume it was a civilization in the second heavens. Can you see why many people's prayers will be trapped? That beyond space, where your eyes can get to, there are civilizations in the second heavens that are not visible to the human eyes. Because we only believe things we say we see. That's science. But you don't see air. You don't see air. But you believe. You don't see the wind. There are many things we don't see that are with us. All pointing to the reality of a master creator in the of this universe. Do you understand? So, I just want you to show interest. If you go back home, try to look for some of these science-based channels and show some interest in what they are showing you. Science, when properly interpreted, agrees with God. Science, when properly interpreted, agrees with God. Well, this is not part of my message, but I'll tell you another science now. So, some animals, mice, were gathered together, put in groups, and they were fed fried, what's these chips we buy at KFC? Fries. Fried potatoes. Irish potatoes. They fed them for a very long time in groups. They were trying to test for how bad cholesterol develops in the body. All the groups came up with high cholesterol except one, and they all ate the same food. So they had to go investigate that group that was not developing high blood pressure. They now realized that the person that was feeding those rats, before he feeds them, he will hold each of them, pet them, kiss them, rock them, then give them the same food. Because of the tenderness and the care, the food was not converted to LDL. It converted into another compound in the body and absorbed it. Instead of coming down with high blood pressure, they were better. So the Indian scientists came to the conclusion that it is not just the food you are eating, but your emotional state that determines your health. If you are not happy, don't eat. They say you should be happy when you are eating. So while you are here binding demons, they are doing research for you. All right. So if any, I don't know if any of you finds this thing interesting. It interests me actually, you know. So look at the scripture, verse 19. It says, if two of you shall agree, covenant on earth, where is this covenant going to take place? Can we display scriptures now? If two of you shall agree, two of you, that means you require at least two people to enter into an agreement. I'm drilling down into covenant prayer now, and I will continue this teaching on Sundays. The requirement for covenant prayer is not an easy one to fulfill. It's like, if you have a covenant prayer partner, if you are, and the person is not your wife or your husband, you might have problems. That's how powerful that thing is. As a brother, you cannot have, I do not recommend, not that you cannot, I do not recommend you have a covenant partner, prayer partner, that is not same gender. Because there is a level of fellowship and intimacy between two of you. The secrets you have between you, it will contend for the peace of your home. Especially if your wife is one that says, oh, I don't like talking. My wife doesn't talk much. My wife, she likes to sleep. My wife doesn't like to. If she's the kind of woman that doesn't want any stress, and somebody is filling that tank in the place of prayer, then that's your real wife. It's a serious matter. It's a serious matter. And many people, it's a lifelong relationship. It's not a relationship you can just change. That's why I told you most people cannot meet the requirement. There are also partial semi-structures that we can create. Where we say, okay, for the next 3 months, two of us want to pray together. We will pray 9 a.m. every day to 10 in the morning, 1 hour. That 9, you cannot come 9:01. That's the part of the laws guiding the agreement. You cannot say, oh, I'm on the road. No. Because what happens is that the moment two people agree on a thing, the heavens will take note of them. The moment two of you say, Mama, I want us to be praying together every night, the heavens will start watching whether two of you are serious. Our plan is to pray for 3 months. They will be watching after like 1 month. It's like these people, they are serious. So they will not be looking at them. Heaven will take note. Air will start observing. Something is happening here. Because what happens with anything that involves covenant is that agreements will not only be reached on earth, it will be reached in heaven. That's why this scripture says, if you bind anything on earth, it will be bound in heaven. Anything that involves agreement, we have agreed for this particular item. Oh, we want God to reach out to the whole of Mende and save their souls. That thing will not go without at least two people noticing, God and Satan. The moment they now notice that these people are serious, how you will know is that one of you will start falling sick, or one of you start getting tired. There will be every attempt to break that time that you both agreed. There will be warfare. That's how you will know that they have started noting. If you are doing it and there's no, you need to continue the prayer. You have not finished. The breakthrough will now come after you have surmounted that thing. There's something they also do. They may not make you sick. They may not make you tired. They will bring a quarrel. Some of you remember you call your sister, this is our family. Let's be praying together, me, you and I. Something will happen. By the third day, two of you are fighting. On something that rarely even concerns you. Maybe mama said something. You call your sister, Ineka. You say, why would you do it? So You cannot go into an agreement without itemizing the rules. Why we are praying for the next 10 days, 2 weeks, we cannot have disagreement. The time of the prayer is 10 a.m., not 10:01. That means at 9:59, we should both be on ground. None of us can have excuse on why this prayer will not hold. There are churches that agree to pray like this. Satan came into their midst and smashed. It was one person or two people in the midst that started fighting or disagreeing. Before he knew it, the prayer could not hold again. Something that involved only two people now affected everybody. You have to be sensitive. The reason why the rules are, you must agree on the rules. And I spoke about how we go in business, we talk of MOU. We talk about agreement. Before the work starts, we've agreed. This in 2 weeks, you deliver phase one. In 2 months, deliver phase two. Nobody wants to hear. There's a calendar. So if you don't have that kind of framework, there is no way to hold yourself accountable. Because Satan will come for you. Let's use the case of Jesus in context. That's why I told you, you need to pray. Eh? Because this relationship is very important in your life. Oh. It's very. If you are lucky, you can get one person like this that God will put in your life. You are blessed. Because it's a lifelong. Even if she relocates to Japan, that relationship will continue. It's like marriage. Jesus never really asked anybody to pray with him until he was going to the cross. You see, but those guys, they didn't understand the terms. Jesus said, come with me. They followed him. Didn't they follow him? Then Jesus said, stay here and pray. Those are the terms of the prayer. Stay here and pray for me. My soul is heavy. They knew his soul was heavy. If somebody says, I'm feeling sad, come and pray for me. That person cannot pray at the same level where you are screaming and shouting, Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost. The person may most likely be praying in low tones. But you need to understand that. Because the person already told you, Pastor, my soul is heavy. So Jesus brought three men. The GO, assistant GO, and regional overseer. Say, come and pray for me. Who are they praying for? Who are they praying for? So that God can prepare him for the task ahead. Eh? Because even Jesus cannot climb that cross in the flesh. So he needed strength. His emotions, like when he saw the, in his vision, he saw the knife. The way they will, then he will slash his head. Then he saw the crown of thorns. Hey. You know, then he was preaching. I will die, I will arise after 3 days. Now, when he's praying, it's not the preaching again. He's seen the Romans weep with thorns. Before now, if Jesus goes to pray, he will come back like, hallelujah. We had just an encounter. We had an encounter. Hallelujah. Today, before he talks, people are getting healed. But this one is not for healing. This moment now, you are, Master, you don't look up. You say, you pray for 4 hours, Master. Because when you see, you know, there are some things you see, your faith will be tested. You just know that, except God helps you. So Jesus brought three people that he felt will understand the situation. And from Peter, Brother Peter, to Brother John, and Brother James, all these P and J, they slept. They were not used to praying that kind of prayer. They've not been taught. Not that they've not seen him do it, but they, you know, sometimes you think, like I'm talking about prayer of agreement. I listened to the message I preached this year on the El Shaddai or something. I just realized that sometimes you have to repeat a message. People didn't really get it. They heard it, but they didn't get it. These guys have seen Jesus pray overnight. They never came one day like Joshua followed Moses. They say it's his anointing. Now, come and pray with me. Peter slept. The way he slept, you know, even Jesus was embarrassed. It's no. And for those of you that want to marry nice men, I hope you know rich men snow. If you want to marry a rich man, he will snow. If you want to, poor men too snow, but this I prefer this. The snow of a rich man is a bit, it has AC inside, and it's very, no pepper, it's just very calm. Like generator without noise. They invited me to preach in a meeting some years ago, and I had to travel to, I was not living in Lagos. I traveled to Lagos for that meeting. While I got to the camp, as I just laid on the bed, I didn't know I dozed off. The guest minister was snoring. It was when they said, the man of God is snoring. I just opened my eyes. The man that invited him now said, don't worry, the man of God is very tired. Say, so, yeah, now, no. I travel, come preach for now. You even have the mind to say, Pastor, it is not if it is sleep. Is that why you are here? We need to focus on your blessing. So it's a serious. I want you to look at the casing. So Jesus prayed for 1 hour, came back, met Peter and his friends sleeping, woke them up. Huh? They slept again. The third time, they slept again. Because the burden of that warfare was not on them. When Jesus left them and went to heaven, and they started terrorizing them, the Bible said Peter called the other apostles. The Bible said, and they prayed. And when they prayed, the building shook. Because now they are feeling it. You cannot enter into a prayer agreement with anybody who doesn't share your body. It's a requirement, too. It's not a matter of, we like ourselves. Mm-mm. If you share your body with that person, the person is not feeling it like his own. The person can pray with you, but cannot be your prayer partner. This is very important. And this matter is important because the days that we are in, we need to trust God for small selections of covenant prayer partners. Because the matters that will be, look at the things that scientists are already discovering now. Very soon, you will hear that aliens are already with us. And I've been seeing those videos. How many of you have been seeing them? I've been seeing those videos. Very soon, in fact, there's one of the videos where the scientist said, this information I'm sharing with you, in the U.S., when President Obama was there, he didn't even have clearance. Obama didn't have clearance to go into that room and see the aliens. That was the agreement they signed with the aliens. That only a select people will interact with them, see when they are ready to enter the world. So let me just give you a tip. Huh? Let me give you a tip. Can I throw it in? You know, this is the way me I think and I see things. Jesus said the day of the Son of Man will be as the day of Noah. So we can start another message from here. Pastor David, what was specific about the day of Noah? Number one, the Nephilims. You know the Nephilims? The sons of giants. Fallen angels. Those are the days of fallen angels. Those are the days of strong witchcraft and incantation. That was the day. Those were the days when God began to build a ark. Those were the days when the message of righteousness was being preached. For those of you that I think this year, Pastor Winger is preaching holiness, preaching this. So I want to, then those are also the days where only 8 people, most people will not believe, most people will be lost. The day of Noah, most people who come to church will be lost. So it's a very serious matter. Huh? You don't want to be alone in such a time. How many people were saved in the day of Noah? 8. What does 8 represent in the New Testament? New beginning or salvation. So the Bible has left us with prototypes, symbols that point to Christ. That in that day of Noah, when all these things are happening, any Christian that does not see Christ formed in his heart will not make it. So when we begin to talk about the issue of covenant prayer, we are looking at something that is very important. Let's look at verse 19 again. It says, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree as touching on anything that they ask, it shall be done for them by my Father. So this also suggests another reason for covenant praying, that there are certain things you will attempt to seek the Lord for that you will not be able to press through successfully if you don't have a partner. Please write that down if you are writing, because not that God cannot hear you, but your generator is a what in Nigeria we call I better pass my generator. What you are praying for requires a mechano gen. If you put these giant ACs on that, I better pass my neighbor, you will just hear, then the generator is dead. The wires of the house can be compromised. When we just install these ACs, for the first 2-3 Sundays, we were having power problems because the building could not accommodate the weight and capacity of these ACs. We had to do a lot of rewiring. All right. So the reason why you are praying, and it seems that you want to make progress, but you are always meeting with resistance. Oh, you begin to pray. You notice your prayer is having effect, but it bounces back at you because your prayer will generate 1,000 units. You need somebody else to generate 10,000. That thing you are praying for, maybe the weight may be 3,000, but your own capacity is 1,000. You need somebody else to join faith with you and build that thing. So that instead of 3, if you take 10, produce 10,000, 10,000, you can still take 3,000 out of it. And both of you will be okay. And I'm saying this because I have seen cases where people prayed for certain things, prayed through, fasted, and they broke down. They became very sick. Who has heard of those things before? There are people that I've heard of, they had an encounter, went to his preacher, and when they came back, they had to admit them. Like they went to heaven, no? God took them to hell. But their spirit was not strong enough for what they saw. Huh? Some people prayed over territories to break the hold of Satan over that territory. They had to admit them. Most likely, that could be one of the reasons why some of you will go on prolonged fasting, and somewhere in between the fast, you start treating malaria. Because you are not sick before. If you check your body, you will not see any mosquito bite. So there are resistances in the realm of the spirit that warrant what? Corporate praying. Not just corporate praying. Prayer of agreement. Our task, Pastor Tokwe, is that by the end of these 90 days, and please understand that you cannot do prayer of agreement for just one day. You cannot do it for just 1 week. What you want to bring out of the heavens, they are very heavy. So your agreement is to pray for as long as possible. I listened to the testimony of a brother. Maybe some of us have seen that testimony online. The brother said he used to serve Satan, and they told him to raise a team to go and break that there's a particular highway in their community that no demon has been able to pass through for many years because of a pastor in one village that always prays. He has a small church. It's not popular. Huh? You see, the pastors, big pastors, were not doing it. The demons saw the pastor. I think his members were about 20. They said, but the past prayer of that pastor blocked the express, that no demon could pass that place. But that they noticed that that window was about to expire, and the pastor had started praying again. And they said the prayer of this pastor was for 90 days. And that if this pastor completes that prayer, that entire community will be off demons for 70 years. That's serious stuff. Oh, but the pastor is poor. He's not rich. He's not on social media. It's not on social media. There's a whole lot going on that is not on social media. In fact, if you have to over put yourself out there, you may just be sounding Simba. Look at what somebody that it was the attack on that man that brought him to Christ. He said they got the man through quarrel. They put quarrel in his prayer group. He only has 10 women praying with him. 10 women. Those 10 women are poor women. They are people in the community. But they have an agreement. This is how we are going to pray. And they said, when we start this prayer, nobody can join us till we are true. See, do you see what I mean by you must set the rules? The rules, this is how we are going to pray. It's not that me and Pastor Quest start praying. Pastor Charles now came. He saw us. I said, I like the way I pray. I want to join. No. It's not that kind of prayer. Once we start, we will agree. Even if my wife is sick, God forbid, if it is that time of prayer, we must meet. That was the agreement him and those 10 women had. Then another woman came and joined them, and the pastor waived the rule for the woman because the woman had money. Pastor was saying, I've been suffering all these years. The woman bought a house for the pastor. She penetrated the pastor emotionally, and they called him from the spirit realm. They called that brother and said, the express is now open. Let the demons go in. Because the moment they broke him, they attacked his daughter. They wanted him to stop praying. This issue of you're not praying, you need to understand the consequence. Both your own prayer life and your corporate life. This issue of I'm tired. Then 3 weeks you have not prayed. This man's prayer blocked the entire village that demons could not access that place for years. And he was almost going to, I think it was, they got the pastor close to the end of that 90th day of prayer. He said they called them from the spirit realm. The barrier has been lifted. Said the barrier has been lifted. Can you imagine that statement? That the barrier has been lifted. And they promoted all of them because of a small pastor that nobody will look at. Do you know how powerful your prayers are? If you just clean up your environment, prepare your environment. You can't keep malice and pray. You can't be trying to settle a quarrel, who is right or who is wrong, and you want to be in this state of powerful prayer. If you want to generate what can deal with 1,000, and 1,000 is a lot, but most of us are not even generating 100. If the scripture says one will chase 1,000, most of us are not even chasing 100. Because that 1,000, that means, for instance, if you are in your prayer mode, if 1,000 demons gather, you are enough. 1,000 demons from anywhere, Asian Sea, that kingdom we saw in that yellow city, second heavens, Mende, wherever. If you are the only man standing there, Shatle, Buzaya, that prayer can restrain 1,000 and you will not feel it. If they hit 1,001, you start cracking. So God did not hide from us our capacity. That's why he said, what you lack in your own capacity, make up for it in covenant praying, in building strength together. I say, if two of you shall agree. There are people that are praying, but they don't really agree. One pastor went on the mountain to pray with another pastor. And they started praying. He said, let me stay on this side of the mountain. You stay on the side of the mountain. And they started praying. The agreement was that they will pray separately, then come together and pray and round up. While he was praying, say, God started hitting him. He felt a tap. Stop praying. Stop praying. Stop praying. He said, no, this is the devil. We must pray. Say, oh God, stop praying. You will die here. Okay. What's good? God told him, say, go and listen to your friend. Say, that's no good now. God said, go and listen. Tiptoe. God told him, say, tiptoe. Go and listen to what he's saying. Joseph stood behind his friend. Let him die. Let him die. His friend was praying against him. Then when they come to round up, you now say, Father, everything we've presented before you, let it be so in Jesus' name. You just used your, because by the words of your mouth, you shall be justified and you shall be snared. The pastor will go and start falling sick. Somebody used 3 hours to say, let him die. Let him die. Because he hates your progress in the ministry. But they both agreed. You set the agenda. And don't Don't attempt this with somebody you don't know or trust. This is serious stuff here. Even Jesus did not succeed in this. In this area of prayer of agreement, he didn't succeed. So he just said, well, they are my people. When I go, the Holy Spirit will be helping them. And they use affliction. The Holy Spirit used affliction to train Peter on this one. By the time Peter was finally arrested, the Bible says the whole church gathered to pray. So what was Peter teaching them? Oh, when they come for service on Sunday, what for a whole church, they didn't say, oh, John was the one coordinating. They didn't say Peter was, James was the one coordinating. They said the whole church gathered in one of the houses to pray for Peter's release. Ah, Peter must have been teaching them about prayer. They didn't wait for Sunday. Say, let's have prayer meeting for pastor. No. Whose house is open? They gathered. Peter must have taught them about the angelic realm. He must have taught them about the power of prayer. Because even when Peter stood at the door, a girl went there and said, Peter is here. Somebody responded, must be his angel. That means they were familiar. The possibility that they taught them that your angel looks like you. Don't open. The prayer is not over. They say Peter is here. They say we've not had a release. It's not the one that you are praying. Someone just say, your food is ready. You say, okay, let me quickly eat. Then I'll go back and pray. How many of you know that one? Now? I'll go back and pray. Say, but you know what I'm saying. Let me just quickly eat this one. I'll go and continue my prayer. Those guys heard that Peter was at the door. They didn't stop. Somebody taught them. But Peter knew what that knowledge cost him in his relationship with God. I am telling you, most likely if Peter had prayed through in that moment, he would not have denied Jesus like that. He would have been preserved. Most likely. Something would have happened that would have brought grace and mercy to him. Peter was not restored because of anything. No. It was just Jesus that restored him. Jesus needs Peter. He needs Peter. If not, Peter would have just gone like that and his story would be like Demas. Or like, what's that? Gehazi. Just wasted. This matter, we are going to continue it. But I want it to become a subject of consideration. Because for some of us, we have been praying, we have been fasting, and this element is what is missing in our lives. For those of you that are married, if you can reach an agreement with your spouse to begin to build this, because it takes time, it will be good. It will be good. But know that when we enter that prayer mode, there's no husband or wife. It's your prayer partner. There are rules for engagement that both of you must set. And this rules of engagement is one of the most important aspects of this matter. Hallelujah. Are you blessed tonight? Finally, in verse 20, it says, for where two or three of you are gathered together in my name, please understand that this 20th verse is a direct product of verse 19, which means our Lord was talking about two or three gathering to pray. Verse 19 was talking about prayer. And in verse 20, he says, where two of you, three of you are gathered in my name, he said, I will be there. That means God is always looking for where clusters of prayers are happening. Please let me just add this. In case you decide to consider this matter, some of the rules you will set, and this will be my own considerations if I decide to go into this with somebody. Number one, there can be no murmuring. Number two, there can be no gossiping. Number two, there can be no gossiping. We will not gossip about anybody. We will not talk about church, anybody who is misbehaving in church. We will not talk about the problem in Nigeria. You understand? As far as this, our meeting, once is that time for meeting, no personal matter again. Number four, we must set the purpose of the prayers. Why are we gathering? It's very important. Why are we gathering? Are we just gathering to pray for the whole world? Are we gathering so that the presence of the Lord can infuse us and we become living temples? Are we seeking God because we are praying for our community? The prayer agenda must be set. So if somebody suddenly wants to go apart, so the other person can correct. As much as possible, do not allow this network to be more than 3 people. Even though it will be difficult to control, all of you will be geos. And when all of you are geos, God will be telling 3 of you 3 different things. Somebody will say the meeting is 9 to 11. Somebody will tell you that, okay, God just said we should stay for 30 more minutes. But you are already going beyond the time. That's why I said it's a very sensitive matter. Some people are overzealous. There are people that hear God out of their spirit, not that they are really hearing God. And I say this with every sense of responsibility. There are people who are always having dreams, 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 dreams. But if you are honest with yourself, take 10 dreams like this. X-ray them. There's a problem if out of those 10 dreams, you have not seen at least 8 fully manifested. Something has polluted your dream life. Number 2, if you are always getting your dreams in sign language, only God knows the meaning, and that's how you have been dreaming all your life, there's a problem. Because every time God speaks, it is to be heard. And the distance between the spirit realm and the material realm, this earth and heaven, God bridges it many times using dreams. That's one of the easiest ways for God to communicate with us. He will bridge it and give us a particular dream. You should not be happy that you are dreaming and everything you are seeing, only God understands. Because that's not God's intention. It's either you are filled with the spirit of religion or self-righteousness, or you need to take this thing a step further and ask for the spirit of interpretation. But you cannot tell me that all your years of dreaming, 10 years, that you are not sure if 8 or 9 of those things have been fulfilled, then there's something wrong. Because when you begin to engage with covenant praying, another type of prayer is pattern praying, but maybe another day, you know, God may begin to speak to 2 of you, and both of you must bring those dreams out, and you must judge it together. You must look at the dream. This is what I saw. This is what you saw. Is it the same? If it's not the same, don't just accept it, because we are in this together. Don't say, okay, because Charles is more spiritual. No! This is a prayer of agreement. It's prayer of, it's covenant. Any information coming, we affect 2 of us. In the spirit realm, when they see you, it's as if a cord has tied both of you. So if they strike one of you, both of you can be affected. You can't just say, God spoke to you, gave you a message, but that message is not agreeing with the other. You have to speak up. Those are the things you must itemize. That's why I keep emphasizing the issue of the rules of engagement. You have to agree. Whenever we receive a word, this is what we are going to do. This is the time we meet. Agree. If anybody cannot meet all those, the person can pray with you, but it cannot be your covenant prayer partner. The person cannot grumble. For instance, you go to Canaan land and every morning as early as 6 o'clock, they are praying for the church, you know, and we do that here. Wednesday, Friday. If you grumble, you shouldn't be in that meeting because it's not convenient. It's not convenient. It's not convenient. These are serious matters. But please go and, this is the first part of this message, and I hope you guys like it, but go and consider it and begin to seek God. The truth of the matter is, if you are able to get one person like this, you are blessed. You are blessed. Because that relationship will never die. But it's possible. It's possible. I say it's possible. So you have to trust God. Because some of you, the problems you are having, you just need somebody to stand with you. You need someone to stand with you, and that siege will break. Not praying in the evening, no, on Sunday. Just say, bro, agree with me. No. You pray on a particular matter consistently at a particular time. So when I come to pattern prayer, we explain to you that if people are dying in your family every 3 years, I will tell you to raise a pattern altar every three weeks or every three months, three hours. That's how you be praying. So that we can register something that can negate that 3-year death cycle. Okay, leave it. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you tonight. And we ask for wisdom.